Hi, I'm Marty Grizzani, and this is the Marty Grizzani Show. As a full-time real estate investor and business owner, I have a real fascination of finding the key principles for business success and personal development. This show is a reflection of my personal mission to find out what truly makes somebody successful in business and in life. We will find tools and tactics that they've used to reach those levels. If you're the type of person is not satisfied with average and you have a hunger for learning that will never cease, this show is for you. Welcome to the show.
Marty the man, Grizzanti. What's up, brother?
My man. Good to be here. I'm honored to be the first guest.
First guest. And what episode are we on for you now? 100 something?
I don't know. Yeah, you guys have been awesome. I think it's probably, it's up there. Maybe 69.
All right.
Or 420.
That's a good number.
69, 420, one of those. But no, we've been rocking with that one too.
Well, I've enjoyed all the episodes. You've had some power guests on there and tons of value for people. So good job.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
So we'll kind of make this a dual podcast here, go through just our journeys in entrepreneurship and things we've learned and getting our teeth kicked in and our ass kicked and lessons along the way. So why don't you give a brief introduction, who you are and how you got started with everything, and give us the rundown.
Yeah. So, Marty Grizzani, and full-time real estate investor. How did I get started in entrepreneurship / real estate?
So you were in sales before, correct?
Yeah, sales is a really great starter in entrepreneurship, because if you're in a sales job, it's really like you're running your own business. Mm-hmm. It's like you're running your own franchise. And of that sales organization, because you have typically somebody setting appointments, or it's you setting an appointment, right? A lot of times in the beginning, you have to set your own appointments. And that's a great skill in itself, just setting appointments.
Right. Yep.
And, you know, what does that even mean? You know, setting an appointment. Well, there's so much nuance to just getting on the phone with somebody and setting up a time to go meet with them, knowing you're going to try to sell them something, right? And so that was great. But yeah, no, it's having that sales experience, starting at a sales company that was ultra sales focused, really allows you to do anything else you want to do in your life. Because if you can learn that skill, whether it's setting the appointment and then selling, which is what we did, we sold over the phone. That was, you know, our claim to fame.
And what were you selling?
We were selling search engine optimization.
SEO, okay.
SEO, yep. Videos for websites. But in 45 minutes, I was getting a credit card from a dentist for $6,000, right? I mean, in 45 minutes, they don't know you and then you're giving a credit card. It was really powerful.
That's a crazy skill to
have.
It's a
super powerful and amazing skill to have. And my partner, Matt, and I, we did very well at that company. And honestly, if COVID would have happened where we could have worked from home, we might still be there. But because we were consistently leaving the office to do real estate stuff, we started to like become almost like people looking at you going, yeah, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're constantly leaving.
Yeah.
But now you can do that. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
If you work from home. But no, that was great. So we did that, bought a house, and then the rest was history. We just kept buying and figuring out real estate.
Right. So you started the whole real estate as a side hustle while you were still doing the sales. At that point, did you know you wanted to eventually transition out of sales? Like, was that your end goal to always go full time in investing? Or
I wanted success faster.
Yeah.
So I wanted more success faster. I didn't want to be waiting for the CEO to tell me, hey, you're going to get the next VP role. I didn't see that happening. And I didn't really want to play the politics game of having to hang out with that person in order to get that role.
Sure. Yep.
Right. So I just didn't see it happening fast enough for me. So, and my partner, same thing. He didn't really want to work there for much longer. And this was an outlet, and real estate was an outlet, and it was something we could understand. And it doesn't hurt that, you know, 90% of millionaires start with real estate.
Yep,
right?
Yep.
So it was something that was replicable and that was important. And at the same time, we had a really solid unfair advantage with my brother-in-law being in real estate before me and kind of showing us some ropes on that. So that was huge. But I knew right away that we wanted more.
That was the path.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But how did you get started?
So let's rewind back to college days. I actually went to school for engineering originally. I was going for process engineering and following in the footsteps of my dad, who was an engineer. All my uncles were engineers, so I figured that was the path I wanted to take. Midway through college, realized this is kind of shit. I don't want to do this for the rest of my life.
Really?
And that's when I stumbled upon a little site called BiggerPockets.com. And
rest in peace.
No,
it's pretty dead.
I haven't listened to it in a while.
Yeah, that shit's dead.
There's so much out there to listen to. But,
right.
That really opened up the world of entrepreneurship for me. And, you know, I would commute to school and it would be on my in my car on
Where'd
the way
you go?
To, I went to RIT.
Okay.
So I was commuting.
Definite nerd.
Yeah, definitely a nerd. And I always said, I'm like, I learned more in that car ride driving to my classes than I actually did sitting in the lectures.
Wow.
And I knew, you know, I'm going to make this happen no matter what I have to do. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I knew that other people were doing it. So I knew it was possible to actually do it. So I finished school. I didn't drop out. I didn't have the balls to drop out of school.
Good for you.
And got my first corporate job with Wegmans, actually. Great company, but just wasn't my place. I knew that I wasn't going to be there very long, but I didn't know how long I was going to last. And I ended up lasting 6 months at my job before I quit cold turkey. I'm like, I'm done with this. And at the time, I had just bought my first duplex.
I remember that.
I was house hacking it. And that's just how everything started for me. I got my real estate license shortly after and started to try to become an agent. Did that for a little bit, and then COVID came along and kind of screwed everything up, and needed a way to make a little more extra income. So I started doing photography on the side for my real estate agent friends, and it was just a little side hustle at the time, doing 3D tours for people and drone work. And all of a sudden, it started growing a lot, and I'm like, hold on a second, this is more than just a little side hustle. And fast forward now, it's a full scale media company. We do hundreds of shoots a month. We've got a full team here. We've got a sick office space we're in right now.
And, yeah, it's really nice.
And it's pretty crazy how fast things can happen in just a couple of years.
How long has it been since you started?
2020, so yeah. four plus years now.
It's great. And was there anybody in your family that was an entrepreneur?
No,
like,
one.
Typically, engineers don't go to entrepreneurship.
No one. No one. Yep.
It's actually very much a career where you are not very risk-taking. It's very risk-averse.
And I would say, even as, you know, an engineer kind of mind, I was risk-averse, but I was in so much, I don't want to call it pain, but it really was mental. Just working in a soul-sucking job that I hated, I knew that anything could be better, even if I had to take the risk to make it happen. So, and the other thing is, I was young. I still am young. This is the opportunity to do it. I'm not, you know, married. I don't have kids. I don't have people to support. So it's just like, all right, like, let's just go for it. And I did.
Were your parents,
they were,
happy?
They weren't happy, but They didn't not support me.
Good.
They definitely supported me. Did they believe in me? Maybe not, but I believed in myself, and that's really the only thing that mattered to me. So
no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
That's kind of my story. But yeah, real estate is how kind of everything opened up for me. Real estate investing was the first entrepreneurial like thing that I started absorbing knowledge about, and business in general was kind of further along and learning all that. But
are you still house hacking that property?
I'm not anymore. I'm renting it as a normal rental.
Complete rental now.
I've since bought another rental, and then I have my primary that I'm living. So
excellent.
Three units right now.
That's beautiful.
But I want to talk about our first deal. So let's transition back to you. What was your first deal, and how did it go?
First deal was awesome.
Where was it at?
It was really funny. So it was a tax foreclosure, and not one where you buy at the footsteps. It was one that was not sold at the footsteps. So it went back to the lien holders, which was back in the day, you could get a lot of deals from companies like American Tax Funding. They would buy a lien and then foreclose on it, and then they would get the property. So we reached out to them. We saw this property, and this is the unfair advantage I was talking about. My brother-in-law was a property manager, knew about the property, had managed the property, knew that the tenant was solid in there, just knew that the owner lost it through taxes. Mm-hmm. It was an investor who owned it out of state. And he goes, hey, this is a really good property. This would be a great first property. And is it a no-brainer? I'd always ask him. I need no-brainers.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, yeah, it's a no-brainer. So we're like, okay, great. $28,500, great. 20. We can do that. And I'm thinking you can get a mortgage on this. So I'm like, okay, what's 20% of that? We can come up with that down payment, no problem. The day of closing, I get a call from my attorney. He goes, hey, you guys ready to go? I go, well, we're still working out the mortgage situation. He goes, there is no mortgages. It's a tax foreclosure. You have to buy it cash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
you're like, shit.
Shit. So I had just given... You know, I'm 22 at the time, but, you know, we were making decent money, but I had just given a big chunk to a financial advisor. I literally had a call him that day, or like the next day. I go, hey, look, I know I gave you like 25 grand, but I need that 20 grand back. And my partner, Matt, who was a soldier with me, he had a little bit of money. He had just started at CGI. I had already been there for like 2 years. So I just had more money because I was working longer. And he's like, dude, this is all the money I have. I got 8 grand. So I had 20, he had 8, and we were able to buy the property. We were able to figure it out. And that was gnarly. And anyway, long story short, that was our first deal. And then we ended up selling it maybe like 3-4 years ago.
Oh, you recently sold it.
We recently sold it for like 70 grand. We had already refied it and then paid it down and sold it. So it was good. It was a very good learning lesson, and we ended up making some money off of it. Nice. So that was nice too.
Yeah. You know, that's a great, even, and I always hear people say, like, even if you don't hit a home run, make money on your first deal, just getting in the game is more valuable, the knowledge you learn from that first deal, than any profits or anything.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. It's an exercise.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get in the game.
More reps you do, the better you get.
Get in the arena.
So let's talk about your flips, because I would say in our market specifically, you're really known for your flipping business. How many houses to date have you flipped?
That's a good question.
Do you know the number?
I don't even know the number. I know we have 10 going on right now.
Right now.
And that's 10. Testament to my partner, Matt. He's the lifeblood.
Really running the operations?
Yeah, he is the construction, you know, operations, CEO, you know, he does it all. He really does. And I help find him.
Yeah.
I help, you know, fund him. I help on that aspect. I run our sales team with our virtual sales people. But Matt is unbelievable, and we have 4 employees now that really help run the show, and we actually made 2 of them partners on Suplex.
Awesome.
So, you know, they're getting a piece of equity now, which is great, because I want them to be working with us for longer.
That's how I am too.
You
know? Same thing.
Same for me.
You gotta have people invested in your vision, and the only way to do that is to make them win when the business wins.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Totally agree with that. Yeah.
No, that's great. So you actually also have given equity into your...
I haven't given equity. I've given profit share.
Profit share.
Yep. I'm still the sole owner, but I'm very open to down the line giving actual equity too. But right now it's just profit sharing.
Yeah. We'll keep that on the DL.
Cut that out.
No, I think it's important. You know, we set up a 5-year plan for these guys, because we want to be... have them running this
eventually, you know? Just be like a passive like thing for you, and
just something where they can build this thing. You know, we want really good people, and if you want really good people, you got to be willing to do that.
Yep.
And we know that we're onto some other opportunities on the commercial space that allows us to get creative and do something a little different. Flipping is an amazing thing. We still love it. It's still a very profitable business for us. It's our main stream mm-hmm. of income. But long term, we see a lot of upside with large commercial apartments and industrial buildings, and that's where we really like to be right now.
No doubt. Yeah. And we'll talk about that because I want to dig into what you've been doing on the bigger deals. But let's talk about, say someone is in the situation maybe that you were in, at a job, they liked it. Like, you liked your job, right?
Yeah, I love my job.
But maybe they want to explore other avenues in real estate investing. And I would say flipping houses, or flipping, just trying to flip a house is one great way to try to get into the game. What would you say to that person who's trying to flip their first house, in number one, finding the deal, and number two, making sure that it goes well? Like, what are some words of wisdom for that first time investor trying to get into their first flip?
So you want to have skill in one of the two things, which is either you're really good at finding deals, because you're not going to be able to find something typically on market that you can flip and make an exorbitant amount of money. You might be able to make a little bit of money, but you're not going to make money where you're able to leave a job typically when you flip a house. So you got to be really good at finding off market properties. That's its own skill. Then there's another skill of, how do you hire contractors? How do you, you know, how much should things cost? You know, and having that skill on operations. We just lucked out where I was good at finding properties in off market properties and running that, while my partner Matt was very good at, you know, he was a contractor, so he knew his way around. He actually did the work the first one or two flips, right? So, but for somebody that is coming brand new into it, I would say find somebody that is a deal finder.
Huge. Yep.
Right? Find a deal finder. Somebody that's newer but is very hungry. There's a lot of those guys, and they usually show up, a lot of guys and girls that usually show up to real estate meetups. And the people that are consistently there, like, hey, I'm a deal finder, that are consistently there, they're going to find deals.
Yeah, they just need help executing on it.
They just need help executing on it, and they need a shot. So that's somebody you want to talk to and become friends with and partner with. And then at the same time, there's contractors out there that they don't have that skill, and they don't have potentially the skill of, you know, getting the money. So if you're a W-2 person, typically you have probably a decent background, and you have a decent, I should say, financial background, and maybe, and that's big when hard money is looking at you. They go, well, what do you got for your W-2, mm-hmm. right? So hard money person might go, all right, worst case scenario, I know you're going to be personally guaranteeing this loan, and you got a, you know, solid W-2, I'll give you a shot, you know, if it's your first one. So you don't want to leave your job right away.
And I think a lot of people make that mistake, right?
Yeah.
They want to get out as fast as they can, but holding on to that W-2, there's a lot of benefit to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the big things is, you know, if you got a strong W-2, meet somebody who's, and really just showing up to those networking events, stuff will start to happen for you. You know, if you are out there and this is something you want to do, you start attracting what you're looking for. You know, it just happens that way. But that's what I would suggest, is starting to go to those networking meetings with real estate investors and start building partnerships.
Yeah. Put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you actually host a local meetup here as well, right?
Yeah. Every last Thursday of the month, the Upstate New York Real Estate Investors group. And we have a great time, great group of people. It's pretty chill,
yeah.
But there's some deals. There's deals being done there. There's
going on there. Yeah.
I've made partners in that group, and I've strengthened partnerships through that group, mm-hmm. and so have other people. So mm-hmm. it's a great group.
And the Facebook group is huge. I mean, you guys got thousands of people in
yeah.
the Facebook group,
and it's all over the state.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. Awesome. Let's transition to. Well, first of all, I want to know, what's the most successful flip that you guys have had?
We've had a couple.
If you're comfortable sharing yeah. numbers, what's the biggest success on a flip you've had?
I think we've done like 150.
Here in Rochester,
yeah.
150?
Yeah.
And what year was that?
2023.
Okay.
So just last year, we had one of our biggest flips ever. And
where was it at?
That was in the North Winton neighborhoods.
Okay. Very hot neighborhood.
Yep. Yep. I mean, look, we've definitely been great, you know, grateful. And also it's been a great market.
Yeah.
Right.
It helps a lot.
You know, Rochester is number one in the entire nation.
It's crazy.
Right. For days on market and for, you know, a number of different things. So we've definitely, rode that wave effectively. And that's kudos to our team. That's kudos to Matt. It's about finding the right deals. It's about solving the problems. But if you can do that, and oh, by the way, you get a, you know, bidding war thing, you know, things can get bananas.
Yeah.
And it happens.
Well, and that's just icing on the cake. And it's part of, like, if we're in a market where things are going that far over, then good for you for being in it, right? It's just, it's part of the game. And by the way, on the other side of that too, there's, in down markets, it can have the negative impact on you. So it's not all sunshine and rainbows, but when it happens, it's great, right?
Well, that's one of the things is, you know, I remember listening to a Bigger Pockets where the guy had bought like all these flips and it ended up going south for him. But when you buy, you know, at 50 to 60 cents on the dollar, it's really hard to make those lose because
you have such a discount.
You have such a discount. In worst case scenarios, you can keep these as rentals.
Yep.
Right. And so even with the interest rates being so high, you can still have an exit plan, which is not ideal for us. We want to flip these, right? But worst case scenarios, we're able to live with.
Yeah. Yeah. You're protecting yourself by making sure they work as a normal rental too.
Yeah. You can't buy something and then hope it's going to keep appreciating. Right. You really need to buy way below whatever the actual market value is currently. And then typically when you do that, good things can happen, especially if you have good, you know, remodeling teams.
Yeah. 100%. And I think that's how a lot of people got in trouble back in like 2008. They were only betting on appreciation.
Right.
And they kind of lost their shirt when things went south.
Yeah. And we don't want to be there. And, you know, we don't plan on doing that because if you have a wholesale mindset, which is what we have, and if you're willing to attack it with an off-market strategy that we do, then you tend to be able to get really favorable deals.
Yeah.
What about you? What's the bread and butter for you guys?
Bread and butter.
Where are you going?
For us, will always be real estate media. So shooting listings for real estate agents. That's our core business. That's what put us on the map. But as we continue to grow, I think video production in general as a whole, there's a lot of potential, a lot of small businesses, a lot of large businesses who need high quality video content for their website, for social media, for anywhere they want to promote themselves. And we have a very, very talented team, specifically my brother Keegan. He's an assassin on the camera, and his skills are pretty nasty. So I think real estate will
love always, that you have your family in.
Yeah, this. Yeah, and having him, working with family is, it's a blessing to me, really, because, you know, I get along with him so well already, and being able to work with him every day is, it's just cool. It's really cool to be able to do that.
Yeah, build something with your family is amazing. Something.
The camaraderie, the just, like, I wouldn't be as excited if it was just me building this alone.
Right.
So having them and them being invested and being... having profit share in the business is huge. So I think there's just so much potential in the video space. And as you probably know, we changed our name recently from Rockin' 3D to Real 3D because we didn't want to be tied to just Rochester.
Mm.
So I can see us doing high quality productions across the country at some point and flying down and doing big shoots for companies who need content. And I think that could be the ultimate destination for us.
I believe it. Yeah. I believe it. You guys have really stepped up the Rochester market. Like really the agents that work with you guys are on another level compared to the ones that don't.
Yeah. And we've tried to build a brand that is so recognizable and people know that we're, because we're a premium service. Like, we're more expensive than the average real estate photographer here, but you're paying for the service, you're paying for the high quality media that you get with us, and the experience too. Like, it's just as important, you know, the photo has to look good, but the agent also has to really enjoy working with you. And
yeah.
That's what I really push, is customer service. And I think that's what's allowed us to grow so much too.
Absolutely. No doubt. Like I said, I think the people that work with you guys understand the importance, and they're also not just understanding it, they're getting the benefits of it as well.
Yeah. And for us too, we're at that point now where we don't even want to work with every agent in the area. We want to be more than just a vendor for people. We want to be a media partner, like a true partner in helping you in all areas of your content, of your media. And not every agent has that mindset.
No.
Some are just, I want just the cheapest photographer, come shoot my house and see you at the next one.
Like,
we're not that company, and we don't want to be that company. So building partnerships and relationships is what I'm all about.
Well, quality will always win. And so and people are always going to be willing to pay for the quality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why our flips do well. And that's why your company is doing well, is because once you have a name in the community, they're willing to take that chance and say, hey, I'm willing to pay more, knowing that the quality is going to be
there. Knowing you have a track record, knowing you deliver.
Yeah, knowing that you deliver.
And so many people, I feel like, skip out on quality, and they take the shortcut these days where if you hold yourself to a standard, you're already separating yourself from the pack, and it's easy to win because people just don't put in the effort. You know what I mean?
Correct. I agree.
So let's talk about your future goals. I know you're really starting to get into bigger deals. You guys just bought a big apartment building recently, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Congratulations. Thank you. Yeah.
And so that's a, you know, the more that we are in the business, commercial is there's a lot of risk and there's a lot of reward if it's done appropriately, but it does take a lot of time and it's a long game. It's a long process. It's the negotiations with the seller are longer. There's more upfront money with due diligence and making sure that, for instance, like soil is clean. And all these different things that you might have to shell out 10, 15, 20,000 before the contract is done.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's scary. And it takes deep pockets to do it.
Which in a way is good because it's a high barrier to entry and there's not as much competition, I would think, right?
That's true. There definitely is a way higher barrier of entry. And but you know, at the same time, we're figuring it out and we're trying to make sure that we're doing it the right way. And I don't know if we've hit our niche yet in that, just because it's so new, but we're willing. And it took us a while to figure out flipping.
Mm-hmm.
And it might take us a while to figure out the next step, but we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
We're just going to keep battling.
And that's the mindset to have. And when you have that mindset, I think you figure it out eventually.
You figure it out eventually. Yeah.
And that's awesome. So in terms of your bigger portfolio right now, what do you have so far? You have the apartment building. How many units, by the way, is that?
That's 79 units.
79 units. And that's right in downtown Rochester here. And then you also have an industrial building as well.
Yeah, we have a couple of industrial buildings.
Okay.
And we're buying a few more. And these are interesting. You know, they're vacant and they're, you know, we look at, you know, I'm a history guy, right? So I look at how did people start, right? How did Buckingham start? How did the Flom start, right? How did all these guys start? And, you know, like the Buckingham started with just rundown old industrial buildings.
Really?
And, you know, just like us, they started with residential, but when they moved into commercial, they started with industrial, and that was the bread and butter for Larry. And, you know, it's one of those things where you try to find stuff that nobody wants. That's just like us in residential. Nobody wanted the majority of the deals that we buy. Nobody wants them because people all say they want value add until they walk in the door, right? You think you want value add, But value add is, it's tough and it's ugly and it's painful and it's...
But that's where the value is.
That's where the value is. But there's not a ton of where people go, well, I'm just going to raise rents and, you know, decrease expenses. That doesn't really happen that often. Those deals are really highly... Again, those are a lot of competition with those ones. Mm-hmm. Where we can win, because we don't have the luxury of, you know, 30, 50, 70 years like Buckingham's and Flom's do in the market, where they can just have a deal come across their desk because they've been in the business so long. So we have to kind of make our own market. Again, that's where the off-market opportunities come from through our sales team. And at the same time, touch the stuff that nobody wants to touch because it's dirty and it's ugly. Mm-hmm. But we're willing to kind of do that because we know long-term we can turn these things into beautiful pieces of art.
I love that. I love that. Willing to get your hands dirty. So do you see, like, do you see Suplex Property? Is that the name Suplex?
Yeah.
Do you see that as like a household name brand like Buckingham someday here
absolutely.
In our local market?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the direction. Yeah. We'll definitely be there. And, you know, truth be told, there's, you don't wish this about anybody, but at any point, one of these big companies, somebody passes away or somebody retires or, you know, the first thing that people do when grandpa builds up this giant portfolio and then he dies is they want to sell it all. Right. And, you know, I'm not here to say like, you know, my kids are going to take this thing over and Matt's kids are going to take our thing over, but you know, you'd like to, but you know, 90% of the time they'll just sell that shit. Right. And so you just got to be in the game. And if you're in the game long enough, home runs will come to you, but you have to be in the game.
Yep.
And so that's the way I see it is, yes, we're going to be a household name for the good. And at the same time, if we stay in it long enough and we keep our nose clean and we are willing to do the things that no one's, you know, wanting to do or willing to do, and we're keeping our reputation, then only good can come of it.
That's it. That's it. One last question. Any favorite book that has had a huge impact on your life? I know we all talk about the Rich Dad, Poor Dads, the all those books. Is there any one specific one that's really changed a mindset or really opened things up for you that you have in mind?
There's probably two. I really like Think and Grow Rich, and that's been very helpful for me. I love podcasts, so I'm a big Ed Mylett fan.
I love Ed Mylett.
I love Ed Mylett. Yep. I steal everything he says. And I try to give him a hashtag after I say it on social media. But, you know, Savers, just that alone, I think is a life changer, which is Savers, if people don't know what that is, it's a morning routine by Hal Elrod, and it's the morning miracle. But the Savers is, you know, silence, affirmations, visualizations, exercise, reading, and then writing. And even if you just do like three or four of those things every morning, right? Like 10 minutes of reading, 10 minutes of a workout, and 10 minutes of an affirmation, your life can change. And so I think that is what I would say is not so much of a book, but more of a
routine.
A routine. And if you can stick to that, I think great things can happen.
Have you been doing that every morning?
I don't do it consistent. I don't do all 10 of those or five of those things every morning, but I'm always doing my affirmations every day. I do my visualizations every day, and I'm working out every day.
Yeah.
So
as long as you're doing something.
Yeah. And while I'm working out, I'm listening to a book. I don't always write. That's my downfall is writing in a journal. It's hard to stay consistent for some reason for that. But I'm going to work on that now that you called me out and made me feel
bad. Well, I think the big thing that a lot of people, you know, don't like about morning routines, what I've been hearing lately, is just because it takes so long in the morning before you actually get to the stuff that moves your business forward.
Fair.
But I think you have a point in that, like, at least try to do something in the morning rather than just waking up and throwing yourself into the craziness of your day. Like, find a way to mentally prepare yourself, and whether it's affirmations, meditation, journaling, something that just focuses you on the present and keeps you healthy mentally, really, before the craziness of your life.
Yeah, you don't need it, right? You don't need to do it, but I do. And if you're stuck and if you're feeling like you are just kind of not able to push through, there's little things. It just takes little things for to make a big impact. And I think the little things is really what creates big impact. So, that, again, that's helpful for me.
Yeah. Yeah, little changes over time, big results.
Absolutely.
Marty, the man. Thank you, brother.
Cam, appreciate you, brother.
Thank you for tuning into the Marty Grizzani Show. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us an honest rating and review. If you're on Spotify,